welcome to this podcast focusing on TROP2 targeting antibody drug conjugates for triple-negative breast cancer. In this episode, which covers the content from a recent online Burst CME program, Drs. Philippa Lintz and Rita Nanda discuss unmet needs in triple-negative breast cancer and the rationale for using TROP2 targeting antibody drug conjugates in this disease. This activity is provided by PER and supported by an educational grant from Gilead Sciences, Inc.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Burst CME Resource Center. Today, we'll be talking about integrating novel approaches in triple-negative breast cancer, new avenues for TROP2 targeting ADCs, and beyond. And we'll start by breaking down the rationale for targeting TROP2 in triple-negative breast cancer. So, on behalf of Physicians Education Resource, thank you all for joining us. I am Philippa Lintz. I'm an assistant professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School and a senior physician at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. And I'd like to welcome Dr. Rita Nanda, who is an associate professor of medicine at University of Chicago and director of the Breast Oncology Program. Dr. Nanda, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
So during this program, we will discuss the current and emerging therapeutic strategies in the management of triple-negative breast cancer, and we will focus our discussion on the rationale for targeting TROP2 in triple-negative breast cancer. We will begin with an overview of the epidemiology and unmet needs in triple-negative breast cancer, highlighting TROP2 as a therapeutic target. And we will also include an animation as a didactic tool to describe the mechanistic rationale for the use of TROP2-directed ADCs in the treatment of triple-negative breast cancer. At the end, we'll have a panel-style discussion to help provide insights into integrating these strategies into clinical practice. So I'll go ahead now and highlight some key data to anchor our discussion. And I'll start by reviewing with you why it is important to find new targets, and in particular today, TROP2 in triple-negative breast cancer. Triple-negative is an aggressive disease and remains an area of unmet need. Most of the recurrences will occur within the first 3 years after initial diagnosis. And when we compare triple-negative breast cancer with other breast cancer subtypes, triple-negative breast cancer is associated with shorter survival times when compared with the other subtypes. Also of importance, we have seen now different data sets showing us that Black women are more often diagnosed with triple-negative breast cancer than other races and ethnicities. In addition, when we looked at African-American women that are diagnosed with triple-negative breast cancer compared to white women, these seem to be less likely to receive standard of care strategies such as surgery or chemotherapy and experience a higher breast cancer mortality. So let's take a look at how we take care of metastatic triple-negative breast cancer as of 2025. So there are two aspects that we have in consideration when making treatment recommendations, and those are the PD-L1 status and the germline BRCA status. Of course, you know, clinical trials are always an option at any time, but assuming that there's no clinical trial, the first line treatment for triple negative breast cancer for those with PD-L1 positive disease is pembrolizumab with chemotherapy. For those with PD-L1 negative, this will depend on the BRCA status, whether you receive a PARP inhibitor or platinum or single agent chemotherapy. Sacituzumab govitecan, one of the antibody drug conjugates that we'll be discussing today, is usually offered on second line, except for BRCA carriers that might be offered the PARP inhibitor at second line if they haven't received in the first line yet. T-DXd, another antibody drug conjugate, comes as an option for those with HER2-low disease, or sacituzumab govitecan or a single agent chemotherapy if not received before. And we will hear more about it in a different episodes of this education series, but how the results that of ASCENT-04 will be changing or are expected to change the way that we practice. So let's take a step back and just look here at what are antibody drug conjugates, what is the main structure of antibody drug conjugates. As we know, these I used to say that they are the new kids on the block, but not so much anymore. They are become more senior or middle-aged kids, it seems, as it all is evolving about ADCs. But there are three elements of the structure of an antibody drug conjugate that are important when it comes to learn about a new one or comparing between each other. And this is the monoclonal antibody, that it's what links the ADC to the cancer cell. Then the payloads that most it's what it's being delivered to the cancer cell, and most of the times this is chemotherapy. And then finally it's the linker, that it's what connects the payloads with the monoclonal antibody, and that is expected to selectively release drug mainly into the target cell as a way of avoiding some of the toxicities in the periphery. So this slide just summarizes the differences between three different TROP2 antibody drug conjugates, saxituzumab govitecan, Dato-DeroxTecan, and saxitiromotecan. The three of them have as a target TROP2. The payloads are different, however, the mechanism of action is the same. The three of them carry TOPO1 inhibitors as their chemotherapy that is being delivered to the cancer cells. And there are some other differences as well, and this is just a very brief overview, such as the schedule of administration that reflects the half-life of the drugs and the side effects as well that you can expect with each of them. There will be different across each drugs that has to do as well with the payload that is being delivered. So in conclusion, I think that we have all been surprised with positively surprised and happy to see the remarkable efficacy that we have seen of antibody drug conjugates across all subsets of breast cancer. However, across, the way we have learned about unique toxicities with each of these drugs, that in most cases, those can be managed proactively as long as we are aware of what they can cause. But there are many questions that remain. How do we sequence these drugs? Can we use these drugs one after the other if the antibody or the antigen that we are going after is the same? What about the payload? Even if the payload is not the same, but the mechanism of action is the same, is it okay to sequence those? And what do we know about mechanisms of resistance to these drugs? So, in some additional characteristics of saxitizumab govitecan, which was the first in class, which is the first in class TROP2 targeted antibody drug conjugate and the first of this class to receive approval for the treatment of advanced triple negative breast cancer. So, as I mentioned, the antibody targets TROP2, which is an antigen expressed in the vast majority of triple negative breast cancer. And the payload is SN38, which is a very potent payload, and that is the prodrug for irinotecan that we all are familiar with. And there is this concept, very important as well, that we all, as we are in the clinic, hear about sometimes when we are talking about why this might work even on cancer cells that do not express the antigen of interest, or why we might have seen more side effects than what we could expect. There's always this concept that comes to the discussion about the bystander effect, the fact that the payload might be released from the antibody even outside the cancer cells, diffusing into neighboring cells. Now, for the minutes that we have left of some panel discussion, we plan to go over some of the emergence of antibody-drug conjugates. And I would start by asking Dr. Nanda how you currently use these agents in the treatment of metastatic triple-negative breast cancer.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Lentz, I think that it's nice if we have the option to use multiple antibody drug conjugates for patients with advanced triple negative breast cancer. But I think, as you know, all patients are eligible for a TROP2 targeting ADC like sacituzumab govitecan, and I have a tendency to use it as early as I can for patients with metastatic breast cancer. I think we'll see in one of the future episodes of this series that sacituzumab govitecan or SG is more effective than traditional chemotherapy. And about a third of patients with hormone receptor negative disease have HER2 low or HER2 ultra low disease and are therefore candidates for trastuzumab deruxtecan. But I have a tendency to start with SG in these patients, just given the robustness of the randomized phase three trial that we have, the ASCENT clinical trial with SG. And then for patients who have HER2 low or ultra low disease, I will consider challenging them with T-DXd down the road.
Great. And in my practice, I have a very similar approach. From the day one of having sacituzumab govitecan available in clinical trials that I've been very excited, with sacituzumab first, but with ADCs in general. Do you share the thoughts of some folks that feel that ADCs are going to be in the future our chemotherapy, and we'll be using more, different ADCs with different payloads in different sequencing strategies as we learn more about resistance mechanisms? And where do you see a role for, single agents, old chemotherapies? How do you, just playing a little bit of guessing game here?
Yeah. Well, I think it's certainly already happening now that our antibody drug conjugates are really replacing traditional chemotherapy in earlier and earlier lines of therapy. And, these agents are moving up into the frontline metastatic setting. They're already moving into the neoadjuvant setting and adjuvant setting for patients who have residual disease after neoadjuvant chemoimmunotherapy. So I think that's very exciting to think about, right? I mean, when we think about drug development for breast cancer or any cancer, in fact, we always think about starting in the metastatic setting, then moving these agents up into earlier and earlier lines of therapy. I will say that in my practice, I've been disappointed by the sequencing of the two ADCs that we have at present. And that's really been borne out by a number of different registry studies that have looked at patients. We just generally never get as much bang for the buck with the second ADC as we do the first. And, the two ADCs we have approved for triple negative breast cancer right now both have similar cytotoxic payloads. So I'm really looking forward to the future as new ADCs are coming down the line that have different cytotoxic payloads that are not just topoisomerase 1 inhibitors. And I think that's very likely going to lead to improvements in efficacy when we want to sequence these agents. Because I think, a big factor of resistance to ADCs is payload resistance. And so, having a very similar payload in the two ADCs that we have available at present is very likely why we're not seeing very much efficacy with the second ADC.
I totally agree. Both are very exciting drugs, so I feel bad about not offering to patient, but I tend, outside of a clinical trial, I tend not to immediately sequence them and kind of sandwich them with a chemotherapy, a single agent, or a different clinical trial that have a different mechanism of action, and then go back to my second ADC when I hope that other mechanisms of resistance have emerged. Dr. Nanda, this was fantastic. Thank you very much. And I hope you all enjoyed these 15 minutes with us. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on this topic, click on the link in the podcast description.